Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
Donald John Trump be, and he is hereby, acquitted of the charges.
The American people can read the transcript.
My vote is an act of conviction.
I disagree with him, but I can't tell you I was totally surprised.
I know they call me middle class Joe.
The whole thing is a joke.
She embarrassed herself.
Wow. Middle-class Joe got a little bit of a gut punch last night. We're still a few thousand votes from having finals in Iowa. The possibility exists that good old Scranton Joe might come out with zero delegates from Iowa. Now, it's a small number to overall for what they need, but I'm just saying that is more than a gut punch, Joe. That is a flashing neon sign telling you, once again, you're never going to be president of the United States. You got as close as you were going to get in the VP office. So there you have it. Courtesy of Barack. How about that? Who's not even endorsing you in this race. It's amazing to me. Hey, happy Thursday morning.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Thank goodness we don't have weather Armageddon, as we were told
you
yesterday we would
in this
have
morning.
This morning.
I had a hard time getting out.
I heard a crunch on my tires as I was backing out. I think it might have been a water bottle or something that fell on the ground.
Hope it wasn't a cat or something.
Yeah, me
did
too.
Did you get out and check it?
I did.
Did
not.
It have to be a cat?
I don't know. Squirrel. I hope it
there
wasn't
we go.
A squirrel.
Ooh. You never know. You never know. Hope everybody's having as good a day as I am celebrating the fact that the President of the United States was acquitted forever. I love the meme of AOC. It had a picture of Occasional Cortex this morning, and it goes, she was celebrating because she thought that he quitted, but that's not what they said.
Oh, so, boy.
I'll be here all week.
Oh, good.
Aren't you happy?
Yeah, it's because it's Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Did you hear AOC trying to explain how the bootstrap thing wasn't a joke, like was a joke, and how people can't literally pull themselves up from their bootstrap?
Please enlighten us.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Brace yourselves.
You know, this idea and this metaphor of a bootstrap started off as a joke. Because it's a physical impossibility to lift yourself up by a bootstrap, by your shoelaces. It's physically impossible. The whole thing is a joke.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, the thing about that...
I don't even know what to do with that.
No.
It must really suck to be that dumb.
It really must.
It must suck for the people that are around her.
I mean, she's oblivious, so she doesn't care. But everyone around her, I feel sorry for. Well, and us for having to listen to that.
AOC, it's about putting on a pair of work boots and going to work.
So
this woman got elected to Congress.
Physically,
isn't that terrifying?
It's frightening to me. It really is. It really is.
There's been so much going on that we haven't had to hear lately. But
I know. That's true. All that was going on yesterday. We're going to keep talking about it. I got Randy Tobler on later. We got a real or fake news quiz coming up. We got lots of good stuff going on all over the place. You know, the XFL starts this week. Did you see that?
I saw that, and I've got friends that are pretty excited about that.
I don't know that I think there's been enough hype for this.
I don't think they've been doing enough PR because
I knew that we have a team, like, and obviously all that when they were releasing the name and all that, but I haven't heard.
I think we
much
actually have like a game
then.
This weekend or something.
Yeah, I think maybe there is, and I feel bad for maybe not tuning into it more than I have. I mean, I know it's going on this week, I'm happy for them. I don't know that I'm going to be their target
Sunday.
Audience. I don't think I'm going to be the target audience that's buying season tickets to something like that, but I will certainly go check out a game.
They are playing the Renegades on Sunday.
So yeah, they need to be pushing this out more.
Get your Battle Hawks jersey on and head down there on Sunday.
The first home game isn't until February 23rd.
Are they going to broadcast these? Are we going to be able to watch them anywhere? Does anyone know?
Here we go.
Facebook Live, maybe. I don't know what they're doing for media. You know, I'm not giving anything away here, I don't think. Brian Kilmeade's son, when he was in town recently for his book tour, went out and had a little cocktail with him after his speech. His son is involved in this. He's like in the marketing arm for the XFL. So Brian could probably answer that question.
Well, I'll just give him a little buzz.
Thank you.
I'll shoot him a quick text here and see.
Get a hold of Allison, find out if he's got any insight.
No, I'm going straight to
Brian. St. Louis is scheduled to play 3 games on ESPN, 3 on Fox, 2 on FS1, and 1 on FS2. So they will be televised.
Good. Cool. So you can check it out before you actually decide to go down there. That's a good thing. Hey, a couple folks on the line this morning. Let me get to line 2 here. Paul, thanks for holding on.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, great. Hey,
before I make my statement about Nancy, I just want to say I grew up in the 70s, and I swear back in the day, the forecasters were much better at predicting the weather than the people that are using these Doppler radars today.
I was just having that conversation, too, that it seems like it's gotten worse the better technology has gotten.
They've missed 2 storms this winter already. So, yeah. Anyway, I wanted to talk about Nancy. You know, on Tucker yesterday, they kept showing all these clips, you know, when she was going around that, doing that little tour saying, oh, we're so sad that we have to do this to the president and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, how sad they were. You know, and it came to me, you know what? I'm sure they are sad. And, you know, they knew they had a loser going in. They know this whole thing has been a loser. They know this whole thing is going to cost them next November. And most likely they're really going to get it handed to them, not just with the White House, but probably in Congress, too. And so, you know, they have a right to be sad because they're going to get their butts whooped.
Well, yeah,
I bet
Paul, thank you. I bet they are a little sad about that. You know what I would say, I not only do I agree with him there about why they're probably depressed, on the weather forecaster thing, there's a difference here. In the 70s, there wasn't the attitude that a station's ratings were driven by weather hype. And today there is, and that's the biggest difference. That's why TV stations go into storm mode, because they want to catch your attention and get you to pay attention to the forecast, and people do, and then it gets oversold. And they didn't do that in the 70s. That's the biggest difference.
And it's at the expense of lots of small businesses that this really hurts them.
No, it can. No, I would agree. They call off work, and you lose productive hours.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott, I got about a minute. What's on your mind?
Are you in storm chaser mode, Mark?
I am not, and never will be again. But
we're
thank
doing
you
the
for
show
that.
Live from an overpass. You can't tell.
Yeah, my now deceased grandmother with bursitis called it about 90% of the time correctly when we were going to get moisture. So yeah, these folks don't know much. Hey, before the break, the guest that you had on, was he affiliated with the Trump campaign?
He is, Mark Lotter. Yes.
Why would they not do commercials with the shirtless Bernie dancing in Russia?
Well, they might. I don't think he was saying they wouldn't, but if he becomes...
I heard a wouldn't, because I'm thinking, you know, these are the same sit-down-to-pee males that are running things that need to just take this stuff by the collar, shake it up, and go in and punish these people politically.
Yes. No, pointing out that, you know, that not only is he a socialist, he has long admired dictatorships like Hugo Chavez down in Venezuela, and he honeymooned in the Soviet Union. Mark Lotter brought that up, and I think it's a great point. They'll hammer that.
Has anybody ever asked Bernie, well, if you love it so much, why don't you go there?
Yeah.
And I think that is truly a legitimate question.
Yep. Scott?
People who love Illinois stay in Illinois. If you don't, move to Missouri. But These folks that want to fundamentally change our rights are dangerous.
I'm with you, Scott. I appreciate the call. You know, the thing about it is, go read the Democratic platform from 2016. Read it. Bernie Sanders wasn't the nominee, but he helped write that platform. It's already ingrained in the Democratic Party, I'm just telling you. Let me get to a quick break. We have got our quiz coming up, Real or Fake News, and then Dr. Randy Tobler at about 6:37. We will talk over impeachment acquittal with Randy as well when we come back. All right, the Zach is back, just fresh off vacation.
The Zach is back.
Zach Factor back in the studio, and we're ready for Real or Fake News.
We are fighting the fake news. It's fake, phony, fake.
All right, Z-Man, what do you have for us today?
All right, you ready to go, Mark?
I am ready. I've got my music all
queued
up.
And we must make sure that he loses,
yes,
because his plan for tomorrow is not good.
It
so hook us up.
Come on, going to play Eye of the Tiger every break.
All right, Mark, we're going to start with you then.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Thanks.
All right. PETA says pet is a derogatory term, suggesting companion is a better term.
Hmm.
Companion?
But isn't pet part of the name of PETA?
The people eating tasty part.
Oh, yeah, that's true. People eating tasty animals. I'll go with real on that one.
Okay.
Who's next?
Trish.
That's real.
I'm going to say that's real because I heard you say something about a PETA story. So I'm going to say real.
Okay, that one is 100% real.
They don't want you to call them pets anymore.
Right, that's a derogatory term.
How is that derogatory? I don't want to, we won't go there.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk.
Headline number two, Red Lobster offering boxes of Cheddar Bay biscuits in place of chocolates this Valentine's Day.
Who's next?
Trish.
That is true.
Unfortunately, we talked about this and you weren't in here, so we know that's real.
Z-Man, that's two in a row.
Well, you know, five days off of news. You
vacation
know.
Brain down at the Villages in Florida will do that to you.
All right, headline number three, a new hotel in London will take care of your plants while you're on vacation.
I unfortunately believe that that's real.
Who's that? Is it me?
It's Mark.
Yeah, it's anybody after the first one, really.
I'll go with fake on that one.
Okay.
Mm.
I'm also going to say fake on this
one.
And Denise, you said real, right?
Yes, I did.
All right, that one is 100% real.
Oh. Nice.
Yes!
Yeah.
I only care if Denise
plants.
Or I win. So,
so we got to play smart here now, Trisha.
Wait, but read that plant headline one more time.
Okay. A new hotel in London will take care of your plants while you're on vacation.
But why would you bring your plants to a hotel and then go on vacation? Oh, you just bring them with you, and then when you leave the room, they take care of them.
I guess it's so somebody can water them while you're gone.
Yeah.
They're
just taking care of them while you're away.
Like, you pack them in a suitcase and bring them with you. I was just confused why you would take your plants to a hotel.
No, the hotel is for plants.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very weird.
Yeah, yes, I'm so confused. Sorry, go on.
Okay. GM plans to make an all-electric Hummer, but who asked for it? Denise. That?
Me? I just Denise? Went.
She just went. It's me again.
I think,
given the environmental wackos that are out there these days, that's probably true. That's real.
Okay.
I think that's probably real.
I think that's real as well.
All right.
In order to play the game, I'm going to say real.
That one
playing
is
the game is in.
Smart.
She doesn't want to risk losing a point.
Right. Everyone said real there, right?
Yes.
That one is 100% fake.
Dang.
What?
GM is working on a new Hummer,
though. They are working on a Hummer.
I thought so, too.
But, hello, people are actually asking for it.
Oh.
Elon Musk ditched his idea for the electric truck, and so now GM is picking it up.
Okay.
Says, hello.
Mark, everybody
lost
on that.
I envision a
one.
Lot of people stuck in sand dunes somewhere because their electric vehicle ran out of power. Go ahead.
Never understood the Hummer.
All right. Senators ponder how to recover from impeachment.
Is this Trisha?
This is Trisha.
I'll say that's fake.
I'm going to say real.
I got to go with real on that one.
Okay, that one is 100% real.
Okay.
Well, I'm out of it, but Denise is still ahead, right?
I'm only down one.
Denise is winning by one right now.
Let's go.
Okay. Iowa chaos raises stakes for the Democratic race.
Say one more time.
Iowa chaos raises the stakes for the Democratic race.
Fake.
All right.
I'd say real.
All right, that one is 100% fake.
Ah!
I didn't even get a boat.
That's true, though. It does raise the stakes.
All right, hold on.
That's true.
All right, this week's winner of the Real or Fake News Quiz, Denise Schaefer.
Winning.
Okay, well, you know the thing about
Welcome
it is...
Welcome back, Zach.
I've still got today.
Yes,
so
you do.
I'm just pointing,
enjoy
I'm just
and
pointing
every
that out.
Other day.
No kidding. Oh, here we go.
Now I'm envisioning Denise running up the steps with her arms in the air. I played this earlier because I was actually visiting Donald Trump doing that after his acquittal yesterday. So I was going to play that or Eye of the Tiger in every break yet tomorrow.
I heard you say that.
But I'm not going to get to do that now. So
That's
I'm just going to do it today. It is fake news. All right, thank you. Dr. Randy Tobler coming up. We will check in with the doc, see what he thinks about what's going on up there in D.C. when we come back.
So I asked this question, and this is my question. My exact question, and we'll put it up here. Are you aware that the House Intelligence Committee staffer, Sean Misko, had a close relationship with Eric Chiaramella while at the National Security Council together? Are you aware, and how would you respond to reports that Chiaramella and Misko may have worked together to plot impeaching the president before there were formal House impeachment proceedings?
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name.
You go, Dr. Rand Paul, and now we have Dr. Randy Tobler. You know, that kind of rhymes. Dr. Rand, Dr. Randy. How are you, sir?
Randy, how you doing?
I like it. Yeah, I love that soundbite from Rand Paul. Yeah. That's the question that the Chief Justice refused to read. Is that correct, I wonder?
That's right. And, you know, yeah. I thought that was one of the most unreported and interesting aspects of the trial. I kept waiting for it like a dog whose master beats them all the time, wondering if John Roberts was going to somehow insert himself and go for witnesses and say, well, I, as the Chief Justice, think it's only fair. There's new information. You know, I just... After what he pulled in that Obamacare decision, when he absolutely upended the letter of the law back in 2012 and again in 14, I thought, oh, my God, just wait for it. How's this guy going to come back and hurt us again? And so he only did a minor cut and scrape on us when he didn't allow that question to be read. I don't know why. I it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, he had some lame explanation as that he's irrelevant or something. It's highly relevant. It was highly relevant to show the chicanery that went on through that whole process.
Yeah.
But I guess the best news out of all of it is that now those names are clearly out. And for anyone who's on Twitter and looks at the Paul video that's posted pretty prolifically around there, they realize, like, man, this thing could have gone further south than it already did, you know, if it weren't for some brave reporting on the part of right-wing news media.
It's true.
I should say right in terms of correct-wing news media.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that point because the name was out there. The mainstream media wanted to ignore it. But how does motive not matter here? And that's what I've said to the liberals, many of whom have probably unfriended me in social media this week. How does the intent not matter? If this was impeachment in search of a cause back in 2017, how in the world can you think what we just went through was legitimate in any way, shape, or form? And that conversation between Misko and Chiaramella proves it more than anything else.
Well, and the naked hypocrisy of it, Mark, you just said it. I mean, the whole foundation, the whole linchpin of their impeachment argument, as Alan Dershowitz and others have so brilliantly pointed out, was that this was all about ill intent to get get Oppo research on his political opponent, Joe Biden. And on the other hand, the aid was released. It was released by the deadline. It wasn't even about current aid. You know, we know all those arguments. There was no victim. There was no crime. It was all about what went on in the president's mind, as if Adam Schiff, Jerry Nadler, Nancy Pelosi, and all the Democrat, managers somehow had Donald Trump lying on a metaphorical couch and they were psychoanalyzing him. Well, that's fine. How about goose and gander? If it's about intent, then why aren't we going about those who intended to do a silent coup against a duly elected president of the United States?
Well, because it's all like our friend Keith Antone summarized so well for us about the Democrats' argument.
No, I don't have a problem because I think there's somewhere, somehow, he's done something wrong.
We don't know what it is, but We know somehow, somewhere, he's done something wrong. That summed up what this impeachment was all about. Thank goodness, Randy, and I forgot to say this to you today, Happy Acquitted Forever Day. I'm going to get that printed on a
happy
hat.
Acquitted. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
true. Well, you know, Mark, as I've said often, though, I have a previously undiscovered, I keep it locked here in the lair, deep in a vault that only I have the key to, a second copy of the Constitution.
Nice.
That, you know, like when you, and when you put a little onion juice on it and you flame it, you know that old experiment with the invisible ink?
Yeah.
High crimes, misdemeanors, and wrong thinking. Now, Donald Trump was impeached for wrong thinking. Because
that's true.
He was, how dare you think about something that may at the same time affect national security by exposing some corruption in a previous administration and happens to also, you know, help you potentially politically. How dare you? But that's something that's concealed in that second constitutional copy.
Yeah, it's very true. Dr. Randy Tober, my guest this morning. Hopefully you listen to him every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 here on the radio station. I'm just sad that they didn't hold the vote Monday. I wish McConnell had scheduled it for Monday to get this thing out of the way before the State of the Union. I thought the president did a great job at the State of the Union. He just showed again and again why we've got to reelect him. Although, as you are going to agree with me on this, he floated out a couple of ideas for changes he wants to make to this country that I don't agree with. And I think Ivanka is pushing a couple of them. One of them is paid family leave.
Yeah, I think in order to maintain credibility, and especially with that persuadable independent middle that will determine the outcome of the election. It's not you and me, and it's not Nadler and Schiff. It's that other, you know, middle. And those people do still have a sense of propriety and right and wrong and authenticity and honesty. That's what they like about Donald Trump. On the other hand, we should be careful in endorsing him hook, line, and sinker because, he alluded to paid family leave, which he did by executive order, a month or so ago for all federal workers. And now he wants that to go into law for everyone. Now, I'm all for paid family leave if a particular employer and organization wants to do that, to recruit and retain people. And some do. And that's absolutely fine.
Right.
Just like some pay everyone, including the servers at their restaurant or the people flipping their burgers, maybe $15 an hour. Beautiful. More power to them. Maybe they get better service out of those workers, better retention. They don't have to be having constant turnover, paying more and justifying that kind of. Absolutely. I'm all for it. But mandated, telling private business owners or publicly held corporations what you're going to pay your people, not that they're to that point yet with the minimum wage, but that you're going to pay them for 12 weeks of paid family leave. I told someone the other day, my wife's not of reproductive age anymore, but she still has, you know, the machinery. I think we're going to buy an egg. We're going to get her pregnant. And she and I can go get 12 weeks off and we can like go to Tahiti for 12 weeks and get paid, Mark. How beautiful is that, man? Sounds beautiful. It sounds great. It's economic populism. That's a slow roll to socialism.
Thank you.
We better watch it on the West, whether it's Donald Trump, whether it's Boris Johnson. There's a slow roll to socialism, and Donald Trump has not done much for healthcare either. This medical price transparency thing is going to bring down access to small offices, small hospitals. You're going to see consolidation to where you're only going to get care in the biggest places, because once you have to tell one insurer what the other insurer's deal with you is, suddenly everyone's going to go to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
That's going to cost patients more. Because the negotiated discount out of which you pay higher coinsurance is going to be that 10% is negotiated down as a result of the contract your doctor or hospital has with Blue Cross, with Aetna, with whoever. And that's going to change things. And you're going to see places closing their doors. And it's unconstitutional, too, on its very face. So I'm all for his social, his constitutional bent when it comes to 2A, when it comes to life. All of that he's hitting it out of the park. He should follow through and on constitutional grounds really watch some of the creep into centralized federal command and control over our lives.
I couldn't agree with you more. It. You know, I got Rachel Gressler coming up from Heritage this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about this issue of paid parental leave. But on the drug prices, he brought that up as well. Send me a bill. We're going to control drug prices. I like the concept of that, but the problem is the world benefits from the research and development done by drug companies in the United States of America. And then they ship their product over to Europe, where Europe tells them, oh, by the way, you can't charge X amount of dollars, more than X amount of dollars for that drug. So therefore, right. the drug price is cheaper in Europe than it is in the United States. If you start capping those prices in the United States, the research and development is going to go down with it. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. And there's a guy at Washington University I saw gave a brilliant talk. He works on this a lot. There's been consolidation and there's been really a decline in research and development, particularly in antimicrobials. Not that they would have been helpful. They're not really that helpful against the coronavirus, but your regular antibacterial things against the gorilla bugs, you know, the staph and so forth. The pipeline is slowing down. That said, the pipeline is much wider, as you said, than it is anywhere else in the world. And the rate of increase in new revolutionary life-saving cancer drugs has been just on fire. It is just that half-life is about 3 or 6 months now. I mean, there's a new revolutionary game-changing drug. That's going to dry up. Look, there's some things that can be done. The FDA is over-regulatory. There's some collusionary black box stuff going around in the distribution channels in drugs that could be addressed. And a lot of these drugs get their stimulus, they get their foundation, they're spawned. In a lot of times, the basic research is happening in government-funded labs in our universities, like WashU, St. Louis U, and others. And I think that a surcharge kind of a system where, look, if I'm Pfizer and I'm using basic research that the taxpayers paid for, I think maybe a surcharge, something, some kind of a payback there. Yeah, I could imagine that. There's some reasonable steps to take, but my God, to hammer on drug companies when they are saving people's lives, for crying out loud, Rush Limbaugh may benefit from some of the R&D that's gone on. I hope he does. And I thought that was one of the greatest moments I've ever seen in American television the other night. That was something else.
Couldn't agree more. So somebody showed a picture of the liberals complaining about that, and then they showed a picture of Barbara Streisand getting her Medal of Honor from Barack Obama. The hell has Barbara Streisand done for this country compared to Rush Limbaugh? Just answer that for me. Yeah. I don't get
people
it.
People who need people. What can I say?
Yeah, it's true.
The Dems protect their own, and they can't even stand for an American icon. Like him or not, he's an American icon. And I'm still searching. I tweeted AOC. I haven't received anything yet. I probably won't. But I'm still looking for anyone out there on the left who would. Where is Rush Limbaugh? Where is the objective evidence he's a racist? I mean, everyone's painting. Where is the objective evidence? Just show me the clip. There's 30 years of sound out there. Where is the clip?
But he's a conservative, so he must be. That's their logic there, Randy.
Silly
come
Randy.
On.
What
come
was
on.
I thinking? He's a conservative, and he wants borders. He wants border control. Automatically a racist. It's in the Webster definition, you know.
Randy, we'll be listening control. Saturday morning, my friend. Right, thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, have a great day. Yeah, thank you for the common sense. Dr. Randy Tobler, The Tobler Show, Saturday mornings 6 to 8. We're back with your phone calls right after this.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
All right, so clearly my opinion on paid maternity leave is not popular with some folks who've called in here this morning and want to take me to task on it. Let me defend myself. Let me go to Shirley on line one. Shirley, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for talking to me, Mark. Sure. I appreciate what you do. I don't think you're really realizing it's not just about maternity. It's also about if you have a medical emergency or something that's going to keep you out of work for 3 or 4 weeks, this benefits your workers, and this can only help the country. If you look at other countries, they have these in place. I'm not saying go crazy with it, but I think it's very important to realize that a lot of people, when they pay their insurance and their house payments and all that stuff, they don't have a lot of money for other insurances for the medical emergencies or parents that are sick and dying. And so I don't think you're realizing how important that could be for the workers. Yep. And I love to see that he's thinking about the workers. Another thing I want to touch on, one thing I learned from this trial, this impeachment trial, is how much money we give other countries. And I think if you cut that in half, that is your health care.
All right, Shirley, I appreciate the call. I would argue that you've got the Family and Medical Leave Act. They have to give you a certain period of time off. What it doesn't say is that they can force your private company to pay for it. And that's what we're talking about here. He did it by executive order with your tax dollars, which I disagreed with. The federal government is now giving men and women 12 weeks of paid parental leave on your dime. Now you're going to go to private companies in this country and say, you have to institute this policy, and you have to take it out of your profits. That's not how capitalism works. It's not, and it's not something we should be doing in this country. Just like Randy said, if it works economically for a company, if that's an advantage, it's going to make people come to work for you, there are going to be companies that do that. You shouldn't be able to force all the companies to do it. Ross, what say you?
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Morning.
I just wanted to say that if we are pro-life, we also have to be pro-paternity and maternity leave, because the family nucleus depends on it, especially like the last caller saying, if there is a medical emergency where you're out for maybe more than a couple weeks, or God forbid your children are born premature, like in my case, that was the case. So you just don't know. There's a huge question mark over it. And if employers also pay for unemployment insurance and work it and kind of cut your pay and quote unquote pay for unemployment insurance, why couldn't they do this?
Okay, Ross, I appreciate the call. I don't see being pro-life in the discussion here. I don't know what that's got to do with it. I'm pro-birth control from the standpoint that you shouldn't have them if you can't afford it. And that's where I come at with this. The federal government has zero business stepping into private business. I'm sorry, folks. I know it's not popular. I feel the same way about pre-existing conditions. I don't know how you can force an insurance company to pay to accept a risk like that. It'd be like telling a Geico that they have to provide insurance for everybody who's ever had a DWI, even though their risk of having to pay out on that individual is 10 times what it might be for somebody else. You can't force that loss on them like that. It's ridiculous. And I don't think you can do that in healthcare either. That's where I'm coming from on. It's got nothing to do with being pro-life or not, in my opinion. We can continue the discussion. 314-241-9797. Jim Talent is going to join us here in a few minutes to talk about what he witnessed yesterday in the United States Senate. We'll be right back.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.